Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast, dedicated in its entirety to Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic journey to Croatia, which has taken him to the nation's capital, Zagreb. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for joining me. As you have gathered, Benedict XVI is spending the weekend in Croatia's capital, Zagreb, on an apostolic journey which marks his 19th abroad, his 13th to a European nation, and the first to this nation, although he visited there before becoming Pope. The theme of the visit is Together with Christ, and it's in the footsteps of his predecessor to the See of Peter, Blessed John Paul II, who visited there three times during and after the Balkan Wars of the mid-1990s. A visit centred around pastoral issues concerning family life and timed to coincide with this Eastern European nation's first National Family Day. Although the journey began as the Pope gave his backing to Croatia's bid to join the European Union. Later in the programme, I'll be bringing you an interview with the spokesman for the Holy See, Father Federico Lombardi, a Jesuit who comments on the Holy Father's first day in Croatia. Meanwhile, I'd like you to join Tracy McClure in Zagreb as she reports on Holy Mass presided over by the Holy Father at Zagreb's racecourse, a Mass marking Croatia's first National Family Day.
Two hearts joined at the side, Croatia's flag and Pope Benedict's coat of arms. Just one symbol from Sunday's celebration, the closeness of this nation's majority Catholics to their beloved Pope, who had come on the heels of Pope John Paul II, who celebrated Mass in this very place back in 1998. And they came from all over Croatia and beyond, Bosnia, Macedonia, Slovenia, Greece, Hungary, Italy. Parents and children, grandparents, aunts and uncles, some 400,000 of them trudged through the muddy grass to get to the Mass area inside the racetrack to greet the Pope. Not put off by frightening thunderstorms, they started streaming into the grounds in the wee hours of the night to prepare for the Pope's arrival with a festival of music and prayer. By the time he got there, the rain had disappeared, the sun burning the grass dry. With muddied shoes but smiles on their faces and waving the Croatian and the yellow and white Vatican flags, they cheered as the Pope toured the track in his Popemobile, stopping to kiss a baby and caress a small child. Icons of the South Croatian Madonna of Sinj bobbed up and down in a sea of heads. It was a solemn but joyful Byzantine and Latin Rite liturgy, a little longer than usual because a mix of Croatian, Latin, and Italian. And though the Pope was the star of the day, of course it was the family that was the main protagonist for the church here. Croatian families of all walks of life carried the offertory gifts to the altar, families with small children, with older kids, and the disabled. The Pope encouraged Croatia's families to become small churches in which to live unity, communion, and prayer. He invited parents to teach their children to pray and to pray with them and to draw them close to the sacraments. In today's society, he said, the presence of exemplary Christian families were necessary and urgent than ever. And he noted the challenges facing families today, secularization, which he said excludes God, and the disintegration of the family, especially, he said, in Europe.
Specialmente in Europa, il diffondersi di una secolarizzazione.
Seeking individual and material well-being and transient experiences, he warned, is being cultivated as an ideal in today's world. Love has become a sentimental emotion, often slave to an impulse of immediate gratification.
Si riduce l'amore a emozione sentimentale e a soddisfazione di pulsioni istintive.
Without a commitment to build lasting bonds between a man and a woman open to life. And in a country where one in nearly five marriages ends in divorce, and a majority believes cohabitation without marriage is okay, that explains a lot. Couples are waiting longer to marry, preferring greater material comfort, and families are having fewer kids, as in many European nations, more people die here than are born. Kirk Archbishop Walter Jupan, president of the Bishop's Family and Life Commission, alluded to the problem too. Contributing to the erosion of marriage and the family for him is the increasing popularity of what he called different forms of civil unions that have no foundations in European culture. Here in Croatia, married and unmarried couples enjoy the same civil rights and rights of inheritance. But Pope Benedict called on families to be courageous Sunday. Do not give in to that secularized mentality which proposes living together as a preparation or even as a substitute for marriage, he said. It is possible to love without reserve, and do not be afraid to make a commitment to another person. Speaking for Croatia's Catholics, once afraid to speak out under an intolerant communist era, Archbishop Župan forcefully demanded what he called the inalienable right to live and publicly express their Christian values. Expressing hope that the communist period was a chapter closed forever, he called on political leaders to promote a mentality for the defense of life and to review the communist era 1978 abortion legislation, which allows all women access to abortion within the first 10 weeks of pregnancy for the modest sum of 240 euros. May the term progress, he said, no longer be used to describe that which leads to death. Praying that Croatia's families will become those small churches he talked about earlier, calling on families to rejoice in father and motherhood, to be open to life.
Care famiglie, gioite per la paternità e la maternità.
A sign they are also open to the future.
L'apertura alla vita è segno di apertura al futuro.
And to true Christian progress.
While in Zagreb, Tracy spoke to one of the people who was involved in this event firsthand. He's Vincent Baratello of the Archdiocese of Zagreb's Family Life Office.
As soon as we found out that he was coming for our first National Catholic Family Meeting, of course, we all got involved. There are different elements, of course, in a preparation. There's, first of all, the spiritual elements. There's been a lot of prayers. There's been a lot of rosaries said, especially the decades of rosaries. People have been saying a lot of families have been praying a special decade of the rosary every day for the Pope. So that's the spiritual part. Second of all, we've had catechesis formation in regards to what the Pope has been saying about the family. And the third part is, of course, the organizational elements, and we have a special web page which we created just for this papal visit. For that, we've had a lot of volunteer students helping, a lot of fourth-year journalist students working, and it's been a great experience for them as well. So at this particular point of time, there's this deep joy and a deep expectation of the Pope coming to Zagreb now. Everybody's really waiting for that.
Now, around the streets here in Zagreb, we've been seeing posters of the Pope and a big rosary. Tell me what that means. And you said that people have been praying for the Pope. But it also, you mentioned that there was a significance of the rosary for Croatia. Can you explain that?
Yeah, there's an interesting billboard around town with the Pope and a rosary in the form of the map of Croatia. As I said, the official church has said, you know, pray for the Pope. And then this is a lay initiative for praying rosaries for the Pope. That association goes back 20 years during the time of the independence war in Croatia. You have to understand, at that time, Croatia was ill-equipped. In actual fact, it had no arms. It was being attacked by this really big army and a lot of bombs falling over the place.
The Yugoslav army.
The Yugoslav Serb army. It's war of aggression against Croatia. So what did Croatians do? We didn't have any arms, so people picked up the rosary. People started praying. They actually believed which was great. One of the images which is in all of our memories here of all the people who were here at that time is Croatian soldiers walking around with rosaries around their necks. I would say basically every Croatian soldier at that particular point in time had a rosary. So it was a spiritual solidarity, the spiritual unity at that particular stage. And so people are saying, if we did it then, we should do it now again for the Pope and pray for the Pope. And the papacy is very, very important to Croatians. As you know, I mean, Croatia is a very Catholic country, 4.5 million people, about 90% are Catholic. State that they're Catholic, and of that about 26% go to Mass every Sunday.
We finally have arrived at our destination up here on the hill where the Parliament and Government buildings are, and I'm looking here at the Museum of Broken Relationships. It seems to me that that's quite an icon in itself of the broken relationships that Catholics or the Croatians have with the past communist government.
Yes, it is. Well, first of all, it's a very unique museum in Europe, and it's actually received some awards now. But thank God. I mean, Croatia broke off its relationship with communism in 1990. But unfortunately, as far as it did politically, some things have not changed. And I consider that Croatia at this particular point of time is a post-communist country, and that has, to a great extent, affected the way in which Catholics deal within Croatian society. You have to remember that during that time, Catholics were second-grade citizens. A lot of the younger Catholics, the more educated Catholics, are saying, hang on, that's enough. We live in a democracy. We also have the right to espouse our views and to give our stances in regards to from political to moral issues within society. Because being a Catholic here in Croatia, whenever you say something, they tend to say, well, you're medieval and you're not progressive. So it's almost a very difficult stereotype to break. So that's why we need our views and to give our stances in regards to from political to moral issues within society. We need a capillary network with a lot of families, a lot of young people, and we meet up and we talk about these things there. So I would say it's almost like a silent, very silent, gentle revolution which is taking place, which could take a couple of generations, but it's starting now. What we're saying is that we mustn't just think about ourselves now, but we must think about the future of our children. Croatia has never had the chance to actually think long term. Croatia has not been a state since the 12th century. And if you look at the map of Croatia, it has a very funny shape to it. It almost has a croissant type of a shape. And Croatia is actually, as a result of historical injustices and whatever, that's the furthermost northern point where the Turks got into Croatia. And so everything was, for centuries, he was very insecure. And so people tended not to think long-term. What we're saying now is, let's think long-term. And as Catholics, we have been the cohesive force of this country since the beginning. The Church has always kept the Croatian identity alive for centuries. And what we're saying, we're the future, we're the families and our children, we're the future. We need to continue on not only this Croatian identity. I mean, it is a God-given that we are in this country. And of course, we will be good Croatians. But I would say maybe even more important that we live our faith and that we be good faithful and that we be the cohesive force and that we say that there is something more besides just this life that we have here.
And while our thanks there go to Vincent Baratello of the Archdiocese of Zagreb's Family Life Office. As mentioned earlier on in the programme, time to look back on Pope Benedict XVI's first day in Croatia as we listen to Tracy's interview with the Holy See's press spokesman, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi.
On this first day of the Pope's visit here in Croatia, we've seen a lot of themes emerge. The family, which is, of course, the focus of this trip, youth, Europe's Christian heritage, and even the coexistence of science and faith. What struck you as some of the most salient?
I think that the problem of the youth, of the education and the family are at the center of this trip. This is clear. But also the Christian roots of the history of Croatia and the idea of the contribution of the Croatian nation to the European community, bringing exactly the richness of this Christian tradition, of the synthesis of faith and culture, is really a very important point, and maybe for the authority of this nation in this moment, and maybe also for the people in this moment, is one of the most important aspect, because they are remembering now the 20 years of the independence, and they are preparing to enter the European community, but the people has many doubts about the European community. And then to find again the enthusiasm, the motivation for bringing in Europe, in the community of the peoples, the contribution of the national identity, of the history, of the culture of this nation, is something very important. And the Pope has spoken very clearly about this, and then has given a positive contribution, an encouragement, in speaking on the plane, but also in some of the speeches. It is the clear position of the Pope. He said this very, very clearly and intentionally. He is encouraging the Croatian to go on toward Europe, toward the European community, but with the profound conscience of having an identity that has much to do with Christianity, and as to, they have to bring this as their contribution to the European community.
Now, you were commenting also there on some of the things the Pope said at the National Theater, of course, also on his arrival here in Croatia. But at the National Theater, the Pope warned that without religion and morality excluded from the prevailing subjective modern thought today, there can be no remedy, he said, to the crisis in the West, and Europe is destined to collapse in on itself. Those are pretty strong words. Was that a dire prediction or an invitation?
It is a very strong warning. That is, the Pope is not a pessimistic man, but the Pope is he sees the problem clearly, and he does not try to put there away without seeing clearly where the problem is. And then if he says there is really a risk for our civilization, for Europe, he says this clearly. This is his responsibility. I think this is very honest. But he does not say this because he will be pessimistic or will see only the negative side. No, but if you are parent, you have to say to your to your children if you see that there is a risk. And then the Pope has to say there is the risk in the subjectivism, in the denial of real and solid values. If you don't have reference on values that are objective, that are true, that are solid, then you lose the orientation, you lose the ground, and you risk to fall and to lose your future. He says this. He has already said sometimes very clearly, but it was said today also in a very important moment with the reference to the conscience. I find that it was very good to say this with reference to the conscience. I think that speaking about Newman, sometime he has spoken very very strongly about the importance of the conscience, and then for the English listeners, it is maybe useful to connect what he has said on the importance of the conscience, speak about Newman and the speech of today for Croatia.
You mentioned the future of Europe. also the future of Europe and the future of Croatia, of course, is in the hands of young people who Pope Benedict saw in overwhelming numbers today at the vigil. He was pointing to Croatia's young people as the future of what to some people could look like the beginnings of a new church here in Croatia. Croatia, of course, is a nation struggling to overcome the scars of war and its communist past. Is this a new chapter for the church in Croatia?
I think that there is always the hope of something new, but it is not something new that begins from nothing. There is a long history of this church, a very profound foundation of the church. There are good cultural institutions of the church in Croatia. Now there is also the foundation of a new Catholic university. This is something important. But there is a good pastoral activity for the young people, good catechesis, good initiatives. And in this sense, I think that is something new that demonstrates its existence, but it is the result of a long work.
And we saw a lot of that dynamism from the parish work here out in the piazza, out in the square today.
Yes, and I was impressed from the fact that we had an adoration of the Holy Sacrament in the central square of a big city. This is nothing. This is not very normal, I think. In
no.
a secularized nation, it is very strange. But here it was something familiar, I think. It was something normal.
And it was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop.
It is true. During the prayer, it was so silent that I was listening to the birds singing around the altar. It was fantastic, really. And there were, so I think, 50,000 people around the square and in the other places around. And the concentration was very impressive. I think there was real prayer. And in this sense, it is important that the Pope does many things, many speeches, many meetings, and so on. But at the end, he is a priest, he is a man of God, and he helps the people to meet God. And this fact that the meeting with young people, beginning from Cologne, I think, but also in many other occasions, are now finishing with the adoration and with the silence, is something interesting and rather impressive. That is, the spirituality is live, and the young people like to pray.
Well, our thanks there go to the Holy See's press spokesman, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi. Let's listen now to Tracy's report on Saturday evening's prayer vigil.
If I first had the impression that Croatians were rather relaxed about the Pope's visit, the cheering throngs of young people who've braved the rain and muggy Zagreb climate for the Vespers celebration put me to shame. Some 50,000 crowded into Josip Jelačić Square and surrounding streets, waving yellow and white Vatican banners and chanting, "Benedict, we love you." And the Pope was clearly pleased, smiling shyly in the way only he knows how. And when his helpers had to bring out not one but three microphones because two failed to work, he looked a little out of sorts, but comforted by the cheers of encouragement that rose from the crowd. There were moments of reflection as young people gave witness to their faith amid the challenges of this frenetic consumerist world. A procession holding up Zagreb's beloved image of Our Lady of the Stone Gate. There were songs. Prayers and a long pause for silent Eucharistic adoration. You could have heard a pin drop. Young people are a dynamic part of Croatia's new Catholic Church, so to speak, a church struggling to rise out of repeated wars and smothered under past communist regimes. And it was to these kids, Croatia's future, that Pope Benedict directed his words with the tenderness and care of a father to his own children.
La voce di Cristo ripete anche a voi.
He painted a portrait of Jesus, the divine, but also the man who wants to take them by the hand and help them overcome trials great and small. Jesus speaks to you today. He is your contemporary, the Pope exclaimed. Let him become more and more your friend.
Lasciate che entri sempre di più come amico e compagno del vostro cammino.
He spoke of swimming against the tide and evoked the image of shifting sands, the difficulties, trials, and disappointments that most adolescents and young people encounter, and urged them to face these challenges by firmly rooting themselves in Christ. And that, he said, calls for commitment and personal sacrifice. Like a dad concerned for his children's welfare, he warned them against enticing promises of easy success and lifestyles more focused on appearances and material things than on inner depth. He hailed Croatian blessed Ivan Merz as a model for the country's young people today. And what teenager wouldn't melt at his story? A brilliant young man, the Pope observed, beginning his university studies only after the death of his first love, Greta, Ivan lived through the horrors of World War I, an experience which shaped and forged him, the Pope said, helping him to overcome moments of crisis and spiritual struggle. Ivan succumbed to a brief illness at the age of 32, after a life strewn with astonishing and moving acts of charity and goodness, the Pope said. A way of life he is asking these young people to imitate today. This young life, completely given over to love, the Pope said, bears the fragrance of Christ. And long after the Pope retired from the square and the crowds had left it vacant, you could still perceive that strong perfume hanging sweet and heavy in the air. In Zagreb with Pope Benedict, I'm Tracy McClure.
Don't forget to check out our website for more on Pope Benedict's apostolic visit to Croatia's capital, Zagreb. The address is www.vaticanradio.org. That's all I have time for on today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I do hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in at this same time tomorrow.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.